Welcome back to another edition of Student Body Right, the complete college football podcast. I'm your host, Nick from CWE, better known as Nick Valinchak. And I'm ready to talk about some college football. We're going to focus on daily fantasy, Friday night, some part of the Saturday slate. I decided to split Saturday into two to be a real prick. Make you listen to both. Get some of those sponsor pennies in my pocket. Because if I get some good sponsor pennies, I'm paying it back, right? We're getting a good video camera. We're making this shit go 2024 on everyone. I'm going to be 3D robotic. I'm going to make a hologram of myself like they did with Tupac at that one concert, Coachella. It's going to be tight. It's going to be nice. Anyway, most of the reason is I just didn't get through all the early slate, and I have an NFL podcast to record after this because I don't know if you knew this, but season starts today. I'm recording this Wednesday night, 9/16. 24 hours from now, we will be into the NFL football season. We will already be regretting many of the decisions we made for our rosters and our fantasy teams. And then we get to relive all of those over again the next day as we have a four-game Friday night slate. Early on in the season, we kind of get stuck with these, teams playing against bad teams. And it can be either really bad or really good. On one side of the coin, you would think that Eno Benjamin against Southern Utah or whoever the hell they're playing. I'm sorry, it's not Southern Utah this time. That was last week when the Sacramento State. You would think that Eno Benjamin's a good, solid bet to just absolutely smash, but the reality is you got to think that game's going to be out of hand. I know that I've said way too many times that defense could get touchdowns, and, I mean, it's viable in a situation like this, and if the score gets up too much, I just really have a hard time seeing how some of these guys getting there. But, we'll kind of talk position by position. I think the first thing I'm looking at here is the quarterback position. And, Jamie Newman probably has the highest upside on the slate just due to the fact that he will likely see the whole game. I think Rice can be competitive enough that we're not looking at like a William and Mary or Sacramento State situation where some of these teams could be resting starters after the third quarter. I think Newman can give us that. I think Newman's the one guy who's got real life 40-point upside on this slate. Bryce Perkins is close, but I just don't know how much we see him play. Hank Bachmeier was a popular name last week from Florida State, from the victory Boise State had over Florida State. He's priced kind of high. I would expect that it's unlikely if he throws for 400 yards again that there's only one touchdown involved in this situation. He gets you no rushing upside, which does sting because that's what Newman and Perkins can definitely do. Then we have Jaden Daniels at 6,700. His price really hasn't come up much. I think that's a safe floor for cash games. I really do. I mean, I think that's someone you can look at and kind of feel a little bit of comfort in playing. Then it just becomes kind of shaky. I don't think I'm playing Willie Green against Wake. I don't really know enough about him, to be honest with you. Rice is kind of one of those teams who we'll see maybe once or twice on a slate like this. So I'm probably going to hold off on that. I was a guy who played Chase Helbig on Saturday night because he was dirt cheap, and really he had played some decent competition last year and actually put up some good fantasy games. And much like my reliance on Jamar Smith on the night slate to get me into a lot of money, I was kind of hoping that Chase Helbig did the same thing. He did not. That's not going to stop me from going after someone like Kevin Thompson, 5,200 from Sacramento State. First game, put up 303 yards in the air, four touchdowns, another 90 yards on the ground, and a touchdown. Arizona State, the defense isn't that good. I got to do a little. I hate that I haven't really looked at this slate, like looked at this slate yet. So I'm not that sure like how good this team was last year. I can obviously tell you that they did super good this year, but you know, I think it's safe to say we want to look at Kevin Thompson a little bit. He could blow up in our face, no questions about it. But those are the risks you got to take on a 4-game slate to break away from what everyone else is doing. Just like last week, you know, Benjamin is going to be a guy I think is going to be the decision point. You know, everybody last week that I saw was just like, we're starting with Eno Benjamin because the matchup against Kent State and whatever. And honestly, that was the right position to take because it was a very good matchup for him. It didn't work out. He still had over 100 yards and a touchdown. But when Travis Etienne and several other backs on that slate put up more points than him and he was the highest priced one, you know, it leaves a lot to be desired. Now he's priced up all the way at 9,600. But the way I'm looking at things is, you know, the trademark of Travis Etienne was running the ball 13 yards for like 203 yards and 3 touchdowns. And he essentially did that against Georgia Tech. I could definitely see Eno Benjamin doing the same thing against Sacramento State. So, I mean, for cash games, I think you just pony up the money. I think we'll be able to find value elsewhere that I wouldn't be that concerned about it. Beyond him, I think there's a lot of ways to go. Cade Carney, it looks like he's going to be a good bet for some production. I wouldn't be surprised if he manages, you know, 100 yards and a score or two. He could certainly take some shine off of Jamie Newman. Nathan Ellerby, plus matchup against Wake, and Wake is just it's a terrible defense. Just get used to it. It's going to be one of those defenses we want to target all year long. The Marshall running backs, Tyler King, you know, he had a good game last week. His price point's good. Brendan Knox. You know, the problem with these guys are they're splitting time relatively, and it could be a little bit wrong, right, because they played Virginia Military Institute last year. And the game was 56-17. I'm a little bit leery. I probably favor King just a little bit more. But, you know, I don't blame you for going either way. Wayne Talapapa, 10 carries last week against Pitt, got 14 fantasy points. I don't really know what to make of this situation for, you know, Virginia yet. PK Kier was another guy who took some touches and just didn't do as much with them. I don't think this is a runaway, you know, it's Wayne Taulupapa time. And especially with it being a situation where they're playing a less than good football team, I could see, you know, both guys getting some work. And at 4,400, Kier really does look like a pretty solid value play. Robert Mahone, like this dude rocked it last week. 24 carries, 142 yards, 2 touchdowns, tossed in a catch for 27 yards, 32.9 fantasy points. He did that at like 4,900. They dropped his price. Marshall has been known as a somewhat tough defense over the years, but it's not one that I'm really that concerned about with, you know, Boise State being in a much better position in 2019 than Marshall was. Marshall was a team back in the day that really did it. He's going to be one of my favorites. I am not that fond of Elijah Dotson, but he is 4,500. He does appear to be, you know, the starting running back for the team, although that's even really tough to say because a bunch of guys got a bunch of carries because the team scored 77 points. So it's really unfair to look at that. I don't think you really want to look at that many running backs from Sacramento State. Maybe as like a 5% or less, just if you need the salary relief and you're trying to get Perkins and Jamie Newman in your lineup because you think they're both going to drop 40 and you want to be on that side of the coin. I get it. I'm drinking hot chocolate right now and I'm loving life. I just figured I'd put that out there. It's kind of a tradition for me, like drinking hot chocolate once the college football season gets underway. Sage Surratt, 8,200. He's definitely the premier receiver on this slate. He could pretty easily bust 40 fantasy points. I think there's a better scenario for him to do it than Eno Benjamin, to be completely honest with you. He would probably be my preferred spend, but I think we could get a lot of these guys in there. From there, it's just kind of like, you know, I don't know what's going to happen where Joe Reed and Hassaise Dubois from Virginia that get the matchup. You know, I think this team is young enough that they're going to try to work a lot of these guys in. So I wouldn't be shocked to see some more usage out of those guys. And, you know, Reed carries a fairly attractive price point. Dubois is a little more expensive than I'd like. Boise State's downright scary. I know that Khalil Shakir at 5,100 had the big game last week, 8 for 78 and a touchdown. You know, he looks like the guy this week. But we've been fooled many times in the past playing the this is how things are going to be. Two of my favorite plays in there, Kendall Hinton, Wake at 59, and I'm sorry, yeah, 59, Brandon Ayuk at 6K. All it would take is a couple of catches from Ayuk to really get there because he has the playmaking ability that's going to really stunt these lower-level teams. Pierre Williams looks like he's the guy, the receiver for Sacramento State. You know, he put together a solid game, 5 for 140 and 3 touchdowns. Don't expect that type of, repetition, but he's a guy that I could consider just being that the team's going to trail. I doubt that they take all their players out. You know, below that, we're really just kind of diving. We're dumpster diving, if you will, for some of these plays out there. I think you could look at CT Thomas. I think that one guy who I'm looking at is Obi Obiallo from Marshall. If he misses again, then I think we could take some shots on a guy like Corey Grimmage, who had a really big game last week, and for whatever reason, DraftKings, priced him at 3K. He's a guy who could cause some problems. Really, these Marshall players are priced insanely cheap, most of them. So this is what I'm saying, like just building on the fly. If you put Grimmage in your lineup, if you think Newman and Perkins are going to be the tits, can you toss in? I already got Benjamin in there. I toss Perkins in there. I toss Robert Mahone in there. I toss Surratt in there. And I got 4K left for per player to play one wide receiver and one flex play. I mean, it's probably not the ideal route to go, but you can definitely make things work. You could definitely, using a 3K guy on a slate like this could certainly work. So that's kind of my early take on the Friday slate. Maybe I'll do an update article in the Student Body Right website so I can get more people there to check it out. I've been really bad about posting everything I do there because I'm super freaking busy right now. But next up, we have a pretty exciting game. A pretty exciting slate of Saturday football. Yeah, so moving on from there, DraftKings gives us a nice 11-game slate. I'm a big fan of. I'd like to see them do 15, to be honest with you. A lot of people piss and moan about that being just way too many games. Not on that side of the coin. I think that the more, you have to research more, but at the end of the day, I want to find more opportunity for edges against people I'm playing against. And a lot of that includes, finding some of these off-the-wall plays. And the more consolidated the amount of games are, the less off-the-wall plays there are, right? The better way of putting it is everybody's on those types of plays, so you don't really get that much of an edge on the competition. First up, we have what should be a barn burner between West Virginia and Missouri. Both teams looked like garbage trash last week. Little bit surprised, but I'm not going to say that I wasn't. Spread total for this game is 62.5 points. Missouri favored by 14 points. Missouri, who just got beat by Wyoming, favored by 14 points. That should tell you all you need to know about what the bookmaker, the odds makers think about this West Virginia team. Certainly not the team we saw last year with Will Grier, David Sills, Gary Jennings, Trevin Wesco, 814 running backs, and Marcus Sims. I'll say that much. This team looks a lot different. On the West Virginia side of the ball, you know, they still want to have this three-headed attack, so okay, have fun with that. I can't buy in to this, you know, backfield share. We had 11 from McCoy, 9 from Pettaway, only 1 from Sinkfield, so at least it was down to 2-ish, but Letty Brown could return for this game, and that muddles things up. Austin Kendall, you know, put up a pretty bad game. I mean, number-wise, 64.5% completion rate, not bad, but only managing to get 2 touchdowns, you know, against a James Madison team that's better than people probably give him credit for, but you're freaking West Virginia, man. Like, you should be doing things. And it didn't happen. Wide receivers are priced really nicely, though. That's probably the route that I would take in my tournaments. I don't find any of these guys to be, like, cash game safe. Really hope – I don't know how college football is on, like, box score watchers, but I'm hoping people open up the – you know, DraftKings website, desktop website, and see that Missouri is ranked 14th against the run this year, or against the pass this year, because they played a Wyoming team who had 2 guys put up 100 yards each on them. You know, that's why that's going to look like that, because the team didn't need to throw the freaking ball. The team isn't going to throw the ball. It's going to be mostly a running team. But I think you can find a lot of leverage with Tevin Bush, TJ Simmons. Interchangeable for me. It's really like one of those things where Bush caught the touchdown last week, you know, so if Simmons had caught it, they'd basically be in the same boat. They're the same price. I don't think you go wrong with either of those guys. Sam James, you know, got some work in there. George Campbell got some work. He's a former Florida State guy, so there's definitely, you know, some talent there. He caught a touchdown too. I'd probably stick to the first two, but don't hate any of those first four, and their price is ranging at $4,400 to $3,900. Really allow you to do some things. Kelly Bryant, made some of the worst decisions, losing fumbles, throwing interceptions at ill-advised times. But from a fantasy perspective, did okay. The price drops $200. Maybe they're perceiving West Virginia as being a little bit of a tougher defense, which I think is an absolute mistake. He's a guy I will look at. I think, you know, hopefully he shook the rust off because a running back situation is going to be a headache. Tyler Beatty had 16 carries, 53 yards. That's awful for anyone keeping track. 1 touchdown, 7 catches for 49 yards. Whereas, you know, chalk play Larry Roundtree did 15 for 41. That's also very bad, with a touchdown and 1 catch for 3 yards and a goal line fumble, which, you know, pretty much turned the slate upside down, quite honestly, because at that point, that's when Beatty started to get more involved. It's going to be interesting as the week goes on, and we could read a little bit more to see what the coaches are saying about, you know, how players might be used. I do try to take a coach's lie mentality when I approach things, and not to try to believe anything they say, because they're a bunch of dirty, rotten liars. And we do know that last year DeMaurier Crockett, you know, was a 1-2 with Roundtree, so it isn't a situation where this hasn't been done here before. So that's a huge price difference. $1,300, you know, separate the two, with Beatty being cheaper. He was far more involved in the passing game. On a site like DraftKings, that's a big deal, whereas Roundtree might be a better play, you know, on FanDuel, and I'm not even saying he is there on DraftKings. He certainly seems to fall behind if that's how things are going to go. Missouri wide receivers, I do believe that Jonathan Johnson is the number one. I believe that alternating weeks, Jonathan Nance and Albert Okwuegbunam are going to be number two. I think Knox and Cam Scott are going to kind of be fighting for number three targets. It's tough to say. It's really way too early. I was super on Nance. I'm shocked. I was shocked when I opened up cash games and even tournaments, and I saw the ownership of Jonathan Nance. And the fact that not a lot of people were talking around him about him in the industry, and this was a guy who at Arkansas in 2017 had pretty solid numbers, and it's just a year sitting out just made him fade from people's minds. And we see that price jump up $2,400. I'm not saying he isn't a playable asset. You know, the reports, what put me on to him was that the reports throughout camp and throughout a lot of the summer was that he had developed a really strong rapport with Kelly Bryant. So naturally, I want to play the guy who the quarterback likes. Crazy thought. But I do think if I'm playing one of them this week, it's either going to be Johnson or Kui Boonham, though admittedly, I will have sprinkles of these guys all over tournaments. One of my favorite games of the week is one that I think Vegas is way too low on, and I might not even give the total because I think I adjusted it for my own purposes, but it's Purdue and Vanderbilt. Yeah. Thank you very much, DraftKings. We have a Jamari Wakefield situation where he is out. Keyshawn Vaughn is 6,100. Lock him in. That's going to be some big production. We saw him carry the ball 15 times, get another three catches, and was probably targeted 3 to 5 more times that he didn't complete against a tough Georgia defense. Still averaged almost 5 yards a carry, had 12.8 fantasy points. I'm super hoping that people are willing to just get super disappointed about his production in game one and move away from him because I want all of that. This is one of those games like we talked about at the beginning of the year when I first started this podcast, that Vanderbilt was one of those teams that they're lovely because the production is going to be isolated. It's going to be Keyshawn Vaughn. It's going to be Kalijah Lipscomb. It's going to be Jared Pickney. And I think all three of these guys are playable. I probably wouldn't play more than two together, but my projections love all of them. There are three of the highest scoring players on the slate. Pickney, I do have over, you know, 20-some fantasy points at a 4.4 price. That's a guy I like. I think that he's going to see some targets here. Lipscomb could see, you know, double-digit targets here. I expect this to be a back-and-forth game to boot. Elijah Sindelar, monster game last week. You know, yes, this is going to be on the road, so it's going to be a little bit of a tougher situation, although they just played in Nevada, so... Actually, this is going to be at home. Never mind. So maybe this is a little more of a comforting situation. The price versus upside here, I think, is lopsided. I think he has a lot of room in his price to hit upside. So going right back to the well again, Xander Horvath didn't look good last week, surprisingly. And I do think the Nevada defense was maybe a little bit better than we thought. But I'm willing to go back to the well against this Vanderbilt team. They're going to be the weakest defensive unit in the SEC is my belief. And, you know, I won't have a ton just because I think we'll find some guys as we go on discussing plays this week that are in the same ballpark that have maybe more upside. But he's an intriguing player this week. Hard to not look at Rondale Moore. You know, he had a good but not great game, which was 11 catches for 124 yards and a touchdown. He is absolutely going to have games where he goes for like 210 and two or three scores. This could be one of them. I mean, this is a game that I think Purdue could be trailing in a little bit. And if they start to air it out, Moore is the, you know, top guy on the team. Bryce Hopkins, solid play behind him. He got in the end zone, 6 for 84 and a score. If he can do that again at 5,400, that's a buy all day. And I believe it's Anthony Anderson Jr. was minimum price last week. He bumps up to 4,500, but he looked like he was probably the number three option on the team. Moving on to Syracuse and Maryland, neither one of these teams really played games I will say counted. Liberty is good, but it's not, you know, a team where I think we've seen the story. But it is concerning that Tommy DeVito did not really do much. 17 for 35 is pretty pathetic. The team stumbled around as a lot of teams did. I think this is a fair matchup against, you know, Maryland. The price is at 6,800. We've seen the Syracuse team under Dino Babers do some things, you know, recently. So I don't mind taking some shots there. Mo Neal and Abdul Adams are here to ruin our dreams because they're both going to get like 14 or 15 carries, and that's going to be super obnoxious. Even if they don't get 14 or 15 each, it's going to be a number that's close to one another. Again, they're priced pretty low, 5K for Mo and 4,200 for Abdul Adams. So they're on the playable list, but it's still not what we want to see. You know, I think, again, we can find some guys in much, much better positions. And then this wide receiver core, I take your pick, Sean Riley, Nakeem Johnson, Taj Harris. You know, these guys are all going to kind of blend in with one another. So I don't really have a – I just don't feel great about any of them. I guess I don't hate it. I'll take some shots in tournaments. Next up, we have Maryland, Justin Jackson, Virginia Tech transfer. He looked pretty good in action, albeit it's against Howard. So that is what it is. We know he had some dual threat upside. So at 6,500, I'll consider him. I'll think about him, you know, as the week goes on. Anthony McFarland will always be remembered for his massacre of Ohio State. I think it was in week two last year. You know, he's a guy to kind of pay attention to here. Jake Funk, 3,700, had a really big week last week for his price. He's a consideration, but someone I'm not going to put much stock into. And then Dante Demas Jr. looks like the guy here, and Tyler Mabry is another guy I would consider. But again, just I think there's other scenarios I'm looking at than players from this game. Speaking of games that I really have no desire to consider whatsoever, we've got Army against Michigan, and we know that, you know, Kelvin Hopkins Jr. is a guy who's awesome in the right situation. I don't believe this to be the right situation. I guess if you want to take shots and hope that there's like some craziness that happens and he scores four touchdowns on the ground, that's the only real way I see them kind of getting there. Kel Walker, 38, kind of the same boat. You know, if they end up getting the ball to the goal line and he manages to take a couple in at his price, he's almost assuredly going to open enough up for you that, you know, you'll be in a good position. Shea Patterson, decent first week, tossed three touchdowns. Yardage wasn't there. This game against Army, it's not inspiring for me to go back to the well at almost 7K. You know, you have three running backs, True Wilson. I haven't seen any news on him. So if he misses, that kind of makes things a little bit better, because I think we could at that point look at Zach Charbonnet or Christian Turner at their prices. Turner, especially at 4,200. And I don't think this backfield situation is just completely wrapped up one way or another. So I think you'll see a lot of jumping around in terms of production there. Wide receivers, man, I can't tell you how irritating it was that Peoples Jones got ruled out, and I was too busy to notice it, and I ended up running him and Juwan Jefferson from Oregon in a bunch of lineups on the night slate that I dominated and won, you know, four figures on still, and I still left, you know, meat on the bone. You'll hear me say that a lot with pricing, but I left a lot of meat on the bone because I broke one of my biggest rules, and I'm usually using it for the NBA because we know it's so prevalent, but it's make sure that the damn people that you're putting in your lineups are playing in the game. Shouldn't have to do that for college football, but at the same time, you have to. So, you know, nothing scares me here. Nico Collins, Tariq Black, I think would be my main targets. I don't mind Sean McKeon, but I just don't see the upside there. I kind of have a hard, fast rule where I want to play guys that no matter what their price can get 20 points. Obviously, that goes up, you know, as their price goes up. I'm playing Rondale Moore or LaVisca Chenault because I think they could get 40 points. So that's where I'm going to sit with Michigan. Again, not a team that I'm really looking too much to target this week. Moving on to Rutgers and Iowa. Nothing is worse than an Iowa game. 50.5 total, 20-point spread. Iowa actually does have one of the highest touchdown totals on the slate. So it is somewhat worth mentioning that. But on this Rutgers side of the ball, yeah, McLean Carter was a little bit good, but really not that good. You know, better real-life performance than fantasy performance, 340 and two. He really needed to get another touchdown, and the fact that he doesn't bring you anything on the ground, like just for me, puts him pretty much out of the equation. We saw Isaiah Pacheco just go absolutely bonkers. And at 5,100, I guess you can take some shots with both him and Raheem Blackshear, but Blackshear is 72, so I take that back. I'm not taking any shots with this Iowa defense that is very good playing at home this early in the year. These guys are or probably passes for me. Anything could happen in college football, but I'm not buying these two combining for almost 80 fantasy points again. Bo Melton, you know, 5,300, I think he's okay. I think Rutgers will score some points. With Melton appearing to be the, you know, number one ace receiver, 5,300 is not a bad price. I could see a situation where he could come close or even exceed that type of production, even against a tough defense. I know people just assume that, oh, it's a tough defense, can't play anyone because they're all going to suck. Not the case. Iowa, you know, Nate Stanley at 5,900 has some intrigue. I can't fathom this Iowa team throwing the ball this much. Still a situation I would consider because there's an outside chance he can put one in on the ground for 5,900. On, like I said, they're expected to score 5 touchdowns. So they're someone I'm going to consider. Mikhail Sargent is a guy I really do want to consider here. 6,200. It's kind of like where Raheem Blackshear was priced last week. He's in a good matchup comparatively. You know, my biggest concern with him is he going to get the volume? He had 14 carries last week, you know, gave up 9 to Torin Young. He looked better than Young. Doesn't necessarily mean that I was going to just game plan to get him the ball, but I like him in tournaments. And you can go with Smith Marset at 4,300 and hope that, you know, he manages to get in the end zone. He would be the best bet here for me, but really, you know, I think I was one of those teams where touchdowns can come with, you know, 3 different people on the ground, about 5 different people through the air. So they're all tournament options for me. I guess I do like Smith Marset at 4,300. I don't hate that play. All right, last place we're going to go with today is Cincy and Ohio State. We're going to save the other 4 games and the night slate for tomorrow. Cincinnati, you know, have to be considered big underdogs here, right? Like, Ohio State is a much better football team. Since he's only expected to score, like, less than 3 touchdowns, it takes a lot of the shine off a lot of the players that I would normally consider, though I will admit Desmond Ridder at 6,700, if he's forced to use his legs more, does carry some intrigue for me. I don't think this is a situation where we see I don't think we'll see a ceiling game, but this could be a situation where he has a ceiling game, if that makes sense. I'm not a big fan of it, but I understand the play because we have a guy who could rush for 100 yards and a score if you know, that's what it takes for the team to get points on the board. Really super nervous about Michael Warren. Did not look good, period. I don't care what anybody says. I do not believe he looked great last week. 3.5 yards a carry. The offensive line against the UCLA team that we watched everyone just steamroll over last year. Just he didn't look good. And it concerns me. I know Ohio State had similar problems last year, but if they're having some offensive line issues in Cincinnati, it's going to lower the upside of Warren. And it's not like he got a price adjustment to the negative for a quote-unquote more difficult matchup. Ohio State is a hell of a jump up in competition from UCLA. Not a situation I'm in love with. Instead, I would consider looking at guys like Josiah DeGura, Rashard Medeiros. You know, I think Medeiros sets up to be more of a possession receiver. Now his price is under 5K. He's 4,700. He was 6,600 week one. You know, now he's sitting at 4,700. I think that's a situation we can jump on. If they're trying to push the ball down the field, Alec Pierce looked like the preferred target. And then we have Ohio State to wrap things up. Justin Fields priced under 9K, so his price drops for I have no idea what reason. I don't think that 36 fantasy points really gets it done for that price. I think we can find guys with similar upside for $1,000 less at least, almost $2,000 with one player I'm going to talk about tomorrow. But It was his first game, but you have to admit, watching it, first quarter, this team looked like they were about to just toss up 80. It looked like they were going to toss up 80 points. And then from that point on, it looked like the defense had every inkling of how to handle Justin Fields. That's extraordinarily concerning to me. I think Cincy is probably a slightly better defense than Florida Atlantic. I do have some concern. Maybe he'll feel more comfortable. Maybe J.K. Dobbins can actually do some kind of a competent job running the football because he wasn't there. You know, his owners luck boxed into the touchdown and made it seem like he had a decent game when in reality he went 21 for 91 yards and got the lucky fall in the end zone. That's not good, guys. We're looking for better than that. And then the Ohio State receiving core rotation of death is here once again. The only guy who didn't get there was K.J. Hill, who looked awful, looked completely bored, uninterested, dropped a ball at the five-yard line. Maybe they just wanted to get those other guys a little more comfortable. Nonetheless, it was an extremely disappointing effort by him. His price dropped. He's now the second-highest-priced receiver because Chris Olave went 568-1. Now, end of the day, these aren't tournament-winning, production lines. Maybe Ruckert was because he was probably free. I was 3K last week and catching two touchdowns. That's probably not going to happen again. Hill is still the guy I would play if I'm expecting a big game, but I'll play any of the top three. Probably would consider Austin Mack in there as well. So that'll wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening. Make sure to check us out at studentbodyright, RITE.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter at studentbodyright. And you can check me out on Twitter at Nick from CWE. We'll see you again tomorrow.